chapter 6, verse 13 through 14. It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand an evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." As we have seen throughout our study on this passage of Scripture, Paul emphasizes drawing upon the power of and ability the Spirit has placed within us when we receive the Holy Spirit to withstand the vicious attacks, the constant lies and deception that the enemy uses to try and keep us from coming, first of all, to know God, and then he wants to keep us from learning to trust God. Amen? John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy." This is the Amplified Version. "I came that they might or may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows." Glory to God. Amen. God wants you to enjoy life. He wants you to just live the Zoe life, is what that abundant life is. That's all that God has, the very best that God has for his children. Amen. God wants you to live the abundant life. The enemy does not want you to live the abundant life. He wants to keep you depressed. He wants to keep you in despair. He wants to keep you in doubt. He wants to keep you in bondage. He wants to keep lying to you and keep you where you're at. He wants that. The life that God has made available to every believer who has made Jesus Christ the Lord of their life is the Zoe life. Paul gives us a command. He just doesn't recommend it, as we talked about last week. He gives us a command to stand in the power given to us through putting on the armor of God. We looked last week at the belt of truth, and we've seen the importance that the truth plays, that it's the truth, that belt, that in the armor, that holds everything in place. Amen? There's attachments there, there's things there, that if you do not have the truth, you're going to struggle. We can see the importance the truth plays in our being able to stand and resist the enemy. The other pieces of armor are supported by the truth. Remember, the enemy's great weapons are deception and fear.
Amen.
He wants to deceive. He's been a deceiver from the very beginning. He deceived Adam and Eve. He stole what God had given to them from them. And he's been stealing from people ever since. He's been out to destroy people. He wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy every relationship in your life. He does not play fair. Amen? He's indiscriminate. He hates mankind. And he hates believers in Jesus Christ even more. Amen. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus' word is the truth. The word truth here in the Greek is the word aletheia. And it is what is true in any matter under consideration, as opposed to what is feigned, fictitious, or false. John Rittenbaugh says that aletheia most closely resembles our English word reality. It means the manifested, unconcealed essence of a matter. A living, saving faith depends upon the premise by man that God is true. He's true in his being. He's true in his character. He's true in every aspect. The enemy's strategy, right from the very beginning, is to get people to question God's character. Mm-hmm. Yep. We read about it in the book of Genesis. He's been wanting people to question God's character ever since. His strategy is to get people to question the validity and the truth in everything. As I said last week, there's vast numbers of people who would tell us there's no such thing as absolute truth. that truth is relative according to the situation you find yourself in. What they might say, and I actually had someone tell me this one time, what is true for you isn't true for me. That's not what God's word says.
Amen.
It points to one place where there is absolute truth.
Amen.
There's one place that is the source of absolute truth. And every person has to make a decision whether they accept it as truth or not. Amen? Just because you refuse to believe something does not make it any less truthful.
Amen.
Amen? Well, I don't believe it. I don't believe that there is a God. Doesn't make him not God. He's still God. He's still going to... You're going to stand before him someday. You're going to answer for your life for him someday. Amen? John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That word, althema. Jesus is the embodiment of the truth.
Amen.
Jesus in flesh and blood is the truth. Everything that we see in Jesus is the truth. Amen? John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. The more of the word that is revealed to you, and that you accept and believe, the freer you become. Anybody ever seen that in your life?
Yes. Yes.
Amen? The more you understand about forgiveness from the Word, the more freer you become in that area.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah, that's good.
The more you understand about righteousness, the more you understand about peace. Amen? The more you understand about your salvation, the freer you become. And then the enemy wants to keep people so bound by different things. He doesn't want you to understand the truth. Amen? Because once you get into the Word and you discover forgiveness, I always talk about forgiveness because that was a big one for me. How could a God in heaven, a holy, righteous God, forgive a jerk like me? Someone who had all the issues that I had, who acted the way I did, how I didn't deserve anything. I didn't deserve forgiveness. How could God forgive me? And the enemy beat me up with that for a long time after I was saved. Until I got into the Word and I discovered things about forgiveness. Amen? When you accept and believe the Word of God, when you discover that you're not bound by your past, you're not bound by your circumstances, you're not bound by your present condition, and you're definitely not bound by the power of darkness.
Amen.
There's freedom when you begin to exercise your faith and apply the Word of God that you know and believe. When you begin to apply that in your life, there's freedom. Amen? 1 Peter 2:2, the New Living Translation says, like newborn babes, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment. Amen? You need to get the Word of God. You need to desire it just like a baby desires milk. Amen. Just like we desire food, you need to desire the Word of God. Acts 20:32 says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified through the word of his grace. We always want to point people to the word.
Amen.
Amen. It's the word of God that will change your life.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
The word of God will change your life.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. You know, there's the people that, not so much anymore, but there used to be a large segment of people that they would just run from meeting to meeting, getting prayed for, having hands laid on them. You know, they just did that. Whatever new preacher was in town, they would run over there, especially in full gospel circles, charismatic circles. People did that all the time, right? I need to just somebody. I need to get there for them to pray for me. I need to get here for them to pray for me. And you might get prayed for. You might have an experience with the Holy Spirit, and you might get slain in the Spirit, and you might feel great for that night. But guess what? The next morning, if you don't know the word, you're going to be running around looking for another experience.
Yep.
You get the word of God, you don't need experiences all the time. You've got the word.
That's right.
Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And then when you do have the experiences, it'll last even longer because you're like, oh, glory to God. Got the word, man. Amen? Hallelujah. God's word is still as true today as it was when Jesus walked on the earth in the flesh. He's the same today as he was yesterday, and he'll be the same tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. As you wage spiritual warfare, it is vital that the validity, the reliability, the genuineness of the word of God is the very foundation that your faith is built upon and your life is secured by. That belt of truth. Amen? Your loins girt about with the truth. What's going to keep you standing? What's going to keep you solid? What's going to keep you grounded? What's going to keep you standing when the enemy comes against you is you knowing the truth.
Amen.
And when he comes against you, you say, no, 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 no. That's not what the word says. Shut up and get out of here.
Amen.
And you're quoting the word on the way out the door. Yelling it at him if you have to. And don't come back.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, we need to get that. Your righteousness, your peace, your faith, your salvation are all based on what God's word says about those things. Not how you feel about them. Do you feel saved every day? Amen? Now, the longer that you're saved, you do, I believe, as part of sanctification. But when you get first saved, that's the first thing that the enemy comes to you, right? Well, you're not saved. You're not saved. Did he ever tell you you wasn't saved before you was saved?
No.
Thanks, devil. Thanks for reminding me that I am saved. You're just confirming it.
That's right.
Because you're a liar. The word says there's no truth in you.
Right.
Amen. And John 8:44 says you're the father of lies.
Yes.
There is no alphema in you.
Yes.
You can't tell it. So if you're telling me I'm not saved, I must be saved. Glory to God.
Amen.
When he comes to and tells you you're not healed, guess what? You're healed.
Amen.
Did he ever tell you those things before you got into the Word of God? Before you became a child of God? He never bothered you. Amen? Why? Because you were under his thumb. You were part of his kingdom. Then you got saved and immediately you were translated into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of his dear Son, and you're not under his authority anymore.
That's right.
Amen? There is so much falsehood in our world.
Yes.
Amen? Satan is the father of lies. He does not delight in the truth because there's no truth in him. He will twist the word to suit his own end.
Yep.
Remember? With Adam and Eve, he said, "Hath God said?" Yes, God has said. It is written. That's why Jesus answered him every time he tempted Jesus. Jesus said, "It is written."
That's right.
It is written. Amen?
Yes.
But you, if you don't know it's written, you can't say anything.
That's right.
But the more you know of the Word, the more Word you have in you, the more grounded you are, the more you know where things are. You don't have to know the Bible verbatim, you know, but you know where it's at. You know it's in there somewhere.
Yes.
Amen? If you can't find it, just Google the key words from that scripture, and guess what? It'll show up.
Yes.
Or go to DuckDuckGo and do it there, and it'll show up. If you don't want to do Google. Amen. Truth is what prepares us for action. Getting ourselves ready for battle by putting on the belt of truth protects us from getting off track through the subtle deception or outright lies of Satan. It enables us to see things as they really are. Because what you believe really does matter.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And how you apply what you believe matters. You just can't have a bunch of knowledge and never apply the scripture in your life.
That's right.
Amen. You're exercising your faith when you say, "By Jesus' stripes, I'm healed." Amen. Or that "my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus." You're applying your faith. Or that "my God perfecteth those things which concerneth me." You're exercising your faith. You're believing that. You're taking what the Word says and you're applying it to yourself. Amen? And when you pray for people, you're taking the Word and you're applying it to other people. Amen? He says, "If any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church." Amen? Let them anoint them with oil. Amen? Yeah, James chapter 5. And the prayer of faith will raise them up.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We need to get a hold of that. We need to learn to apply the Word. Hallelujah. So we need to realize that. So then he says in the second half of that verse, he says that we are to add the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. The breastplates in Paul's day weren't made from one solid piece of metal, like we might envision, like we've seen movies like the Knights of the Round Table, you know, and they got the solid piece, it's all one piece, and they're walking around like this. It's like, how in the world they even fight in them things, amen? Well, you know, the Roman was much different. They had overlapping bands of metal, and they were all tied together with leather, so that they were much more agile. They were flexible. They were maneuverable, amen? And, you know, if you remember, we talked about those soldiers were expected to march 18 miles in 5 hours, taking regular steps. They were also expected to go 21 miles, or almost 22 miles in 5 hours, with faster steps, all while wearing their backpack that weighed about 45 pounds or more. And then they had on their armor, their breastplate of righteousness. Amen? So when the soldiers were out in the field, they were light on their feet. It enabled them to make changes and quick maneuvers and direction in battle. And it was fitted with loops or buckles that attached to the belt that had everything else in place, and when the belt was loosened, the breastplate would fall off. Just come loose. So, remember, the purpose of the breastplate was to protect the soldier's vital organs. His heart, his lungs, the entire digestive tract. And if any of those organs were damaged in battle, the soldier was doomed. It was designed to protect the very center of a man's being. Amen. To put on the breastplate of righteousness, we have to have the belt of truth firmly in place. Amen. Because the breastplate of righteousness protects the very core of who we are. Because we aren't who we used to be anymore.
Amen.
And if you don't know that, if you don't understand that, the Word of God says in Romans 10 that being ignorant of God's righteousness, they went about trying to establish their own righteousness. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into this next week much deeper. But if we don't know who we are and how we become the righteousness of God, we don't have the truth of what that entails, what God's Word says about righteousness. We will attempt to be right with God. We will attempt to impress God. We will attempt to please God through our own devices and our own imaginations and our own theology, our own philosophy of who God is. That's why we need to understand that we are the righteousness of God through faith.
Amen.
We'll pick this up next week. I just want to put that out there to you, though. Just remember this week. Think about that. Think about that righteousness that covers you, covers the core of you. It covers who you are as a person. You're not darkness. We read that before. Unrighteousness. You're righteousness and light now. So, we need to have that settled in our heart. Because we need to know what righteousness is. First and foremost. If we don't know what it is, we'll be confused. And we won't know how to properly put on our armor. If you come back next week, we'll tell you what it is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen.